is looking at porn a sin. Porn is shortened from pornography. The Bible's not direct on this, simply because pornography, as we know it, didn't exist. So what you know as porn today didn't exist in the year 60 or in the year 2000 BC, all right? However, there is something that you really need to catch, all right? Pornography defined, the word porn comes from the Greek word porneia, all right? That's the word that we use to define sexual immorality. So pornography at its base understands this is not moral sexually, all right? So there's some content that you need to get, and one of the first things I want to say is this isn't a male issue, and this isn't a female issue. This is a both gender issue, and I think that we'll show this a little bit. Here's just some stats for you pornography-wise. There's about 400 million people in the United States who are sexually involved with the internet. You don't just look at pornography to just view images. There's a sexual result that comes from that. There's about 2.5 billion emails that are sent every day that are pornographic in nature. There's about 25% of all the internet search requests are pornography related. So every 4 requests is for pornography. 72 million internet users visit pornography websites per year. Sex is the number one topic searched for on the internet. Half of all the spending on the internet is related to pornography. The pornography industry made $57 billion last year, which is more than every team in baseball, basketball, the NFL, football, and hockey combined. So all major sports in America combined that pornography made more, or it's 9 times more than ABC, CBS, and NBC and their collective networks made combined. 9 times that. So that's a substantial amount of money. For every 400 movies that are made in Hollywood, there's 11,000 pornography movies made. So every 400 movies you see from Hollywood, 11,000 pornography movies are made. 43% of the internet users view pornographic material. 1 in 3 of them are female. And so then the median age where someone interacts with pornography for the first time, for boys, it's between the ages of 11 and 13. For girls, it's between the ages of 12 to 14. We can basically call that a wash and say 6th grade is the average year when a teenager and a student is going to interact with pornography. Porn is not a subtle issue. It's not something that's just on the internet by yourself. It's something that has really gone throughout the whole world. It's very, very, very popular in America. We're the number one consumer of pornography in the whole world. However, pornography works in kind of like a drug. And so we're going to kind of define addiction for you a little bit. When you're addicted to drugs, you just want more drugs. So if someone is a crack addict, they just want more crack. And that's just the way it goes. Arousal addiction is what happens with pornography and other things, that feeling causes in you a sensation and you want something different. And so it needs to be new, which is a novelty, in order for it to be sustained. Arousal addiction also happens in shopping. So you don't just think arousal sexually. And I'll say an idea. The new iPhone is going to be released in the fall. There is an arousal addiction to getting a new piece of technology. And it's going to pass itself away very quickly. It's going to die very quickly, and you're going to need something different, like when the iPhone 6 comes out. And so you need to know that arousal addiction isn't specific to pornography, but it does fit there. And so since porneia fits pornography for us, there's also a principle that Jesus gives us that applies sexually as a whole. And so Matthew 5, 27 to 30 is where we get this principle. Jesus says this, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent," meaning the desire to have sex, "has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell." And so here's how I want to frame this easily for all of you. Some of you will not have sex before you're married. But that doesn't mean that you're sexually pure. Because if you get to the place where even in your brain, you're having sexual interaction with somebody and fulfilling sexual desire going forward mentally, you're already there sexually. You just haven't committed the act. And so Jesus throws this whole thing out of whack and says, okay, you've heard it said, don't have sex outside of marriage. I'm telling you, if you're having sex in your brain and imagining sex in your brain, then you're already sinning and you're already there sexually. And so Jesus reframes it all and he gets into this place where it's like, cut off your limb, stab out your eye. It's better to do all that than to go to hell. So Jesus' statement is not just go lopping off your limbs, but you need your hands and you need your eyes. And Jesus is saying it's better for you to lose everything you need in this life than for you to give yourself to something that eternally is going to ruin you. And so it's better that you just say, I'm throwing out the computer, I'm throwing out the phone, because when, and if you know my story, when I looked at pornography, it was only a computer thing. And that's where that started for me. Where you're at now, you can access anything you want to on a smartphone. And so it's in a computer issue, a movie issue, a porn shop issue. And so God's saying, man, it's better that you don't have a phone, don't have a computer, don't have a DVD player, don't have HBO, Cinemax, or Showtime, don't have any kind of network television. It's better that you have none of that than for you to give yourself to this. And so what I want to do is, again, this is anonymous. There's ways for you to text this in. But I'm going to throw this to my friends Justin and Robin, and I'm going to kind of let them share their story a little bit and kind of get some traction that way.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Justin is awesome. Like, right? Justin is amazing. I love this guy. I'm very humbled to be here and be speaking, although I wish it was on better terms, you know? You hate to share heartbreak, but when God redeems something, that's just a good thing. So I grew up in the church. My dad's a church planner, and I heard the stories. I knew the right way to live. I knew that I had the choice of just everything. I have the choice to sin or not to sin, and I knew what that was. I knew what sexual immorality was. I knew that pornography was a sin. And when I was in seventh grade, is when I was introduced to it, and my parents found it on the internet, and they caught me, and I said, I swear, I'm never going to look at it again. And then 10 years later, I was married, and I had still that same, I chose to sin and to fall in that while being married to someone that I had said that, you know, till death do us part, that I would have no eyes for anybody else. And I broke that promise. She found it on the computer. I confessed. I said, yep, that's, you know, here's the thing. Here's how long it's been going on. It hadn't been through the entirety of our marriage, but the fight with porn, if any of you have been on that battlefield, know that it's, you can win for a long time and then lose once, and you feel like all that ground was lost. It starts in your walk with the Lord. That's number one, because you go to church and you fake it. It's easy to fake it if you have. I mean, you can just put your Jesus face on and then go home and flip on your computer or your tablet or your iPhone. And but then it took me, so we went through counseling, and through that process, I really... When Jesus says that, you know, losing the eye and your hand, when you're married, your wife becomes more than your eyes and your hands. Your wife becomes like life itself. And I had jeopardized that. I had said, well, I think that this few seconds of pleasure, this few minutes of feeling fulfilled, is worth trading my wife and a future with. And the Lord just showed me that in John 10:10, Jesus said that the devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And that's what he does when we give in sexually, really in any arena of sin. But since it has been my thorn, that's like that. It's just a huge one. And it's so easily in our culture. You can't watch a football game, whether it's college, high school, or pro, where you don't see girls being thrown in the air wearing very little. You can't watch a movie where there's a girl not in a bikini that's basically like wearing just underwear. You can't do anything. You can't go to a water park without, if you're a guy and have struggled with the addiction to pornography, without thinking like this is the gateway drug to it. And when when Jesus said, you know, you need to throw those things away, I didn't get a whitewater pass this year. We live in Branson. I said, I just don't need it. I don't want it. It's just another gateway for me. And I'm glad to say that it's been like 2 years or so. Almost 3 years that the Lord has redeemed me from that and has requalified me and has called me into ministry and where I'm able to serve like that. But, you know, if you say you're going to promise to quit it, you need to put things in place so that you do quit it. That's just the truth. Every medium that you could get pornography through, you can get a safeguard for it. And people who are like, well, I don't want that because it messes up my this and that. Well, if you're serious about your walk with Jesus, you need to have safe eyes on your phone, and you need to have both a parent and a pastor on that with their email addresses. So every time you flip that switch off or you try to bypass it, they know. If you're serious with your walk with Jesus, then you're willing to say that I will put these safeguards in place. I pay $75 a year for my iPhone to have safe eyes and my home computer to have safe eyes. And that blocks, like, you cannot get past this program. You cannot. It is impossible. My wife can get a report. She can see everything I clicked on, how long I was on a page. If you want to be free from the struggle of pornography, Jesus can do that. And he's given us awesome tools through these organizations like XXX Church to help you get out of that. You can win. Jesus wins, and you can be a part of that, but you have to make the choice, and today's a really good time to do that.
Hey, guys. I'm going to come at it from a little bit of a different angle because, of course, I don't have that addiction, that same addiction, but still the addiction that Justin has battled throughout high school and then in our marriage a little bit definitely affects our relationship and our marriage. And first and foremost, it kind of affects his expectation coming into the marriage of like what our sex life is going to be like. And I think in any media, not just pornography, but in movies and on TV, there are a lot of expectations that are put that aren't realistic at all. So people are just as susceptible to have unrealistic expectations, even if you don't necessarily have a porn addiction or whatever. So know going into your marriage that the media doesn't set the standard. If you're wondering what the standard is, always go to the Word. Always go to the Bible because that's where you're going to find the standard. You know, leave it up here. That's where Jesus sets it. That's where we need to match it. But in our marriage, when I found out that Justin was still struggling with that addiction, and with any addiction, of course, you struggle with it forever. I mean, you always have to make that choice and say, no, I'm not going there. But when I found the information on his computer that kind of let me know that that was still going on, I had a choice to make. I could be a victim, and I could be really upset, which of course I was. I could feel really hurt, which of course I did. I felt not pretty anymore because, you know, that media thing, again, sets that standard really high, even for the look of a woman. It's just not realistic. But I went through all of these emotions, and I was ticked. But at the end of the day, you choose forgiveness because Jesus forgives us. And, I mean, what a blessing, what a treasure to know that our sin has been taken care of. So when someone wrongs us, don't play the victim card. That's not our job. It is healthy to set up boundaries. Justin talked about that with safe eyes. And there are boundaries for any sin you have. Set those things in place. That is good and healthy. But being the victim and dwelling in that sin and how it's going to affect you, that's not healthy. So just forgive and walk in that forgiveness. Everything's a choice. He has to walk in his victory over pornography. And I have to walk in my forgiveness of that sin against our marriage and against the Lord. So thanks so much again for having us.
I'll clarify a couple things just in case you don't know. XXX Church is a website that a couple pastors formed to help deal with the pornography issue. It's very rampant in the church. It's very, very rampant in the church. So this isn't a outside the church with a couple. It's very rampant inside and outside. So they made this specifically for the issue of pornography. So if you type xxxchurch.com, That'll lead you there. There's tons of help there, tons of support. Justin mentioned Safe Eyes, which is a program that, or an application you can get on every phone that's made. It also is available for every computer that's made, that allows that information to be logged and sent to people who can hold you to that. And so Rachel and I use it as just a way for her to know and that she's always going to be aware of that. And it's just an easy way, if this has been an issue for you, to say, I know that this is going to keep me. If even just kind of putting some of those safeguards, like Justin said. Someone sent in the question, is sexting a sin? Which if you don't know what that means, that would be sending a sexual text message. And I think even when we break it like that, I think it's easy to say what the answer is. That when you're sending a message to either give sexual gratification to somebody or to have it be sent to you, that in itself is sex. That narrows down into the lust category. And so that's where I would say that is equivalent to pornography in that way. And you need to be, one, you need to stop doing it because it's illegal. Because you're a minor, that's what's known as the distribution of pornography of children. And by you sending that, you can go to jail. So you need to be aware that even sending sexually flirtatious pictures, pictures exposing yourself, even if you're not fully naked, that is an opportunity for you to receive jail time for. And so you need to know that this isn't just some light thing. And everything you do on your cell phone is stored, recorded, and accessible. So even if you delete it, remove it, change it, anybody can get it. Cell phone companies keep that. They can retrieve that easily. And just so you know that that's there. And then is watching a scene in a movie where two people are engaged in some sort of sexual practice consider pornography? Simply yes. That just because it's not explicit at a XXX website or something like that, that's not what qualifies as pornography. It's anything sexually immoral that's viewable. So even like when you're watching The Notebook and she gets naked and they start having sex, very simply, that's pornography. She's naked, they're having sex, just because you're not seeing body parts, that's not where it's included. That would fall into what's known as softcore pornography, because it's simply not body parts and you're not seeing them actually fulfilling the act. Then the hardcore pornography would be the way that you see it explicitly. And so there's that. We have a third question that I think we're going to throw to. But here's the deal. This third question is way too complex for us to do it today. So we're probably just going to try to make another week for it. And I'll let you know what it is. Is homosexuality a sin? And there's a secondary question to that we're going to address is, I've heard that they can be born that way. Is that true? Or I heard you can be born homosexual. Is that true? So we're going to kind of pair those two questions together. And we're just going to make it another night because I don't want to cheapen that. And I don't want us to do this poorly. Here's one of the things I'll say, and then we'll let each of the panel members contribute one more time before we close. Sexual sin in the church is the one thing that if you commit it, you often get kicked out for. That you can do just about anything else in church, but if you're sexually immoral, you get kicked out. And for us as a family, we need to change that. That's something that we honestly need to redeem here. And that's one of the things that in this room that we're going to be aggressive about if we find that being done here. Because Jesus doesn't do that. He was friends of sinners, and he was friends of people who were sexually sinful. It happens a lot. And so we in this room are not labeled by sin. We're not labeled by even what sin we would think would define us. We're labeled under the cross and under the mercy and under the grace of Jesus. And even if someone comes in not knowing Jesus, we label them forward going, when you experience Christ, man, all this is going to be done away with. And so in this room, we're not going to have that. And we want a lot of sexually immoral people here. We want a lot of liars. We want a lot of cheaters. We want a lot of thieves. We want a lot of cussers. We want drug dealers, gangbangers, hood rats. We want it all. Why? Because you would do it if it weren't for you. And we haven't labeled any of you by your sin, whatever that sin is. And we and you are not going to do the same to anybody else. All right?